From DogWorks Radio Network, sponsored by Alaska DogWorks, Professional Canine Training Center in Anchorage, Alaska. This is the DogWorks Radio Show, committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. DogWorks Radio is part of the one and only 24-hour internet radio network dedicated to dogs. Now, here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto hosting DogWorks Radio here at the studios in Willow, Alaska. We are going to air on KVRF 89.5 in the Matsu Valley, RadioFreePalmer.org. And today we're talking to Ryan Carter, calling in from Nashville, Tennessee, to talk about a very popular site on social media, both on Facebook and Instagram, as well as their website. It's called Camping with Dogs. CampingWithDogs.com is their website. Ryan, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And yourself?
I am doing well. How is the weather down there in Nashville?
Well, today it's like 85 and super humid. The bad thing about Nashville is that it kind of sits down in this little bowl. And so all of the weather typically sits right in the middle of it. So this time of year it starts to get really hot and humid.
You know, we were just back on the East Coast for a couple of weeks, and coming from Alaska to that neck of the woods, 100 degrees is sure is hot compared to what we have here.
I'm sure that's a very drastic change for y'all.
So today we're going to talk about your guys' website and your social media presence. I follow you guys on Facebook, and I love seeing all of the pictures of the dogs out camping, and I'm so excited to talk about that because a lot of people think that dogs don't make great camping companions. They're too worried about them running off or, you know, pet-friendly campgrounds and national parks and all that. So I think we can set some of those rumors aside today when we talk about it. Is that right?
Absolutely, yes. I'm very excited about that.
So let's talk about how you guys got started with this and how in the world did you guys get to 21,000 likes on Facebook?
All right. Well, the whole Camping with Dogs thing kind of came at around like 2:30 in the morning. This was back in December of 2014. And I thought, it's all right. So actually, I need to back up a half step before that. I run a social media agency. It's out of Nashville, called Parachute Media, and I was wanting to do a case study on taking a whole bunch of different hashtags inside of Instagram and being the thought leader in all of them and driving them back towards one specific thing. And I noticed that there were a lot of really like hot inside of Instagram that nobody was really owning, or the content was really spread out across a lot of different hashtags. And so I decided to start with a personal passion of mine, and that's dogs and being outside. And so I kind of combined those together, and as literal as I could make it, it ended by being called Camping with Dogs. So I actually launched out the Instagram account first thing. This is like mid-January. And I started off just by like sharing content that I thought would resonate well with the outdoorsy community that had a dog. Because a lot of the times, I think a lot of people get stressed out about the thought of taking their dog camping because there are a lot of things that need to go into it. But really what it ended up by being is what started off as just an experiment to see if I could take a whole bunch of different hashtags and drive them back towards one account was something way cooler, which kind of sparked me to go ahead and purchase CampingWithDogs.com was that we're actually like inspiring people to get out and be more active with their dogs.
Right.
We read every single comment that hits our Instagram account. And it's really cool to see people tagging their girlfriend, their boyfriend, their husband, their wife, or their friend saying, please, can we take our dog camping? And so it's actually turned into a really neat thing.
And you guys are building up quite a community on your on your website in particular, I know you have an option there where folks can go on and sign up as contributors and, I assume, write stories about their camping adventures and post pictures on your guys' page. Can you tell us a little bit about
right.
that and how that got started?
Yeah, well, since, you know, this has all been kind of just a side project that's really an extension of my own personal brand and my own personal, I guess, my personality, you know, we decided to start crowdsourcing quite a bit of this. The amount of time and effort it would take us to kind of go in and create all this stuff internally would be very, very difficult. And we know that from all the content that we're currently sharing on social right now, those same people, they are going out and they're enjoying being outdoors with their dogs. So, like, what better people to be your brand advocates than the people that are already out there doing it? So, like, we put that out, I guess, just a few months ago. We've had almost 300 responses in the past few months of people wanting to contribute to the blog, to write stories. And so what we've done is we've kind of gone through and selected, I would say, the top 50 and starting to give them assignments throughout this entire summer where they can start sharing their experiences with going camping with dogs. It could be from anything, you know, like your top 10 places to go on a hike with your dog in Colorado or your top 5 tips to a first-time dog owner that's thinking about taking their puppy camping. And so we have a wide range of content that should, I think, resonate rather well with anybody that's a dog owner that is wanting to go camping or hiking with their dog.
If we could, Ryan, take a step back just a second to talk a little bit about the behind-the-scenes aspect of this. You had mentioned that you have a social media company. That's what you do for a living. You know, so
yes.
many people today are on social media, and they want to share everything, whether it's pictures of their dogs to pictures of their dinner. And one of the important things that people think that they need to attach is 50 or 60 hashtags on that, and then it just bogs everything down. And it seems to me they're doing it strictly for likes on their page versus truly the great content that they're trying to share.
Uh-huh.
How do you foresee that playing out in the next couple of years on social media?
Oh, that's actually a great question. Quantity versus quality. So I think there's a lot of people that they I see all these accounts all the time that will tag camping with dogs and in their picture and their account has very little to do with being outside and being active with their dog. It's just about being famous on Instagram, I guess.
Right.
There are very few monetary, you know, things that can come from just being famous on Instagram besides, I guess, you feel good inside because you got a bunch of likes. But at the end of the day, nobody really cares. With regard to all the hashtags, specifically on Instagram, because it doesn't really make sense on Facebook, and I think the stream on Twitter moves so quickly that it's really tough to kind of keep up with all the tweets that are associated to the popular hashtags on Twitter. That, like, on Instagram, you're limited to 30 total, and that's actually a good thing. But we choose the same, I think we've got 20. And if you'll notice that it doesn't go into our main comment of our picture, it goes into the second comment line. Because what we don't want are the hashtags to really take away from the message that we're trying to get across that corresponds to the picture. So if you'll scroll through our feed, you'll notice that you won't ever see our hashtags unless you scroll up through all of the comments. Where I think that's going in the future is just a way to really categorize that picture. There are some people that do well and there are some people that aren't. There are a lot of people that they just want to follow on a popular hashtag just for the sake of it because they think they might get some likes or some new fans out of it. But we're actually trying to build a brand that matters. And we started off by not selling any products, which this gets back to a fundamental that we believe in, is that if you can't build a brand without anything to sell, how do you expect to build a brand with something more important? And by doing that, you really have to think about your audience and the people that are inside of in their lifestyle, start catering content that feeds into their lifestyle. If you can get into that, then you're steering away from just being a product-only company, so that when you do have a product to sell, people are buying into the brand and not just a product-facing company.
If we could, Ryan, can I ask you one more question in regards to that social media presence? What about those mom-and-pop guys out there that have XYZ business? As a consultant to them, what would you recommend in terms of time that they should spend on their page, curating content and posting things and, you know, making sure that everything is active so people see that they're out there?
Time is all relative to where they're at with their business and if it's their main source of income or not. I'll just be completely transparent. I spend less than an hour a day on content for Camping with Dogs. We have geared people into tagging their pictures for us, so we've got everybody online that's doing a lot of the marketing for us, which is great. That's exactly what you want. Let's say a lot of it is just being efficient with your time, knowing what you want to do that month, and finding the content well in advance to make that happen. The one problem that a lot of like people that are first getting these accounts up and going is I think they're wasting a lot of time on stuff that doesn't really matter. Just like constantly checking in to see, you know, how many likes that they got on the picture. Look, that picture is already out there. It's going to do what it's going to do regardless of how many times that you check in on it. And that constant checking back on your phone is really just a waste of time when you could be spending like gathering up the next round of content for like the next 2 weeks, starting to pre-schedule that stuff out so that you can focus on actually running your business. Because just posting content every day is not going to run that business. It's a part of it, but it's not the main source of revenue for a lot of these smaller brands.
Excellent stuff. Ryan Carter calling in from Nashville, Tennessee. We're talking not only about social media, but his websites and social media presence, Camping with Dogs. Ryan, let's jump into it. It's a dog show, so we definitely have to talk about some dogs. Tell us
right.
tell us about some of these pictures and things that you're seeing. People are doing some pretty cool stuff on your page. Even though they're just still photos, you guys are receiving some awesome pictures on your pages, and man, those photographers are doing a great job out there in the wilderness with their furry
yes.
companion.
Oh, yeah. We are specifically looking for a more literal version of the essence of going camping with your dog. Like the one thing I noticed as before I even created this account was that there are a lot of people that are posting pictures just going hiking with their dog. So it's a dog on a trail. It's a dog on a rock. It's a dog with a mountain in the background. I mean, anybody can really duplicate that picture. But I think getting down to a more intimate feel is the camping part. It's sitting around the tent. It's the dog inside of the tent. It's the dog around the campfire. And so, like, you'll notice a lot of our content is going to be geared towards that because seeing a camp setting, it could be a tent or a campfire, is enough to really create a conversation between two different people on especially Instagram or Facebook, where if you'll notice, everybody, like, tags like another person in their comments, they go, please, can we do this? It gets away from just going hiking. So we had to be a little bit more overly literal with like the concept for the brand so that people can really understand like what it's about.
Right. And you guys are brand new. You said you started this in January. Here we are just the beginning of June, and you are doing great. I know we want to talk a little bit about your app that you guys are developing, but we also want to give
right.
some tips because you said you're very active with your dog. It's one of your favorite things to do is get out there in the wilderness. Can you give us some tips? You know, a lot of people see these pictures and are tagging each other, like you said, their girlfriends, their boyfriends, and saying, hey, can we go do this? But a lot of people are kind of up in the air about what they should do next. They see these cool photos and they want to go out on the weekend with their dog, but they aren't quite prepared. Can you give us some tips on that?
Yeah, I would start off by taking some baby steps. What you'll see with a lot of dogs that are probably not as well behaved in both a public setting or like a park, is really stems from the human. And so a lot of the training, it has to be on the human side of how can I best learn as an owner of my dog to have him be as obedient as possible. Because as soon as you get out into the woods, you've got a lot of things that the dog is not used to seeing. And so instead of just going out full-fledged camping and taking your dog off the leash, which you probably shouldn't be doing anyways, you've got to make sure that he can or she can be controlled in a setting that the dog is more comfortable in. And so I would start off by just like very simple standards with leash training, making sure that your dog is not going to chase after anything that moves. Because for like a lot of us, we live in the city and then we go out into the backcountry, either go hiking or camping. And so there's a lot of things that they'll see out there they don't necessarily see in the city. So having your dog be really comfortable with being on a leash and staying at your hip side and not chasing after anything, I would think would be a great first step. I would say like the next step past that point is having the dog be really attentive to your commands, like sit and stay. Because as soon as you get into a camping setting, which is a problem that I made my first time taking my dog out, was that I just let the dogs run into the tent immediately. And guess what happened? My sleeping pads were popped. And so I spent the next 2 days sleeping on like rocks, and it was the most comfortable feeling in the world. So knowing, how to like make your dog sit and stay and say, hey, there's a time when you can come into the tent is when you're calmed down. You're not going to run laps around like the tent. Just stuff like that is really helpful. But I think a lot of this training and stuff you can definitely do at your house. And a lot of this just like basic, you know, commands of being obedient, sit and stay and not trying to like lead on like the leash wherever like you go, where the dog's chasing after everything. I feel like if you got those things down, then it should make your first camping experience a hell of a lot easier than if you don't have those things down with your dog.
So for folks that are relative novices to this, in hiking in particular, not necessarily camping, how should they hike with their dogs in terms of carrying the extra gear? Do you guys recommend the backpacks for the dogs and them carrying their own weight? What is your take on that?
That is completely up to, I guess, the owner and the dogs being comfortable with the things that you have on its back. It's definitely not something you go out and you want to do a 25-mile, two- or three-day trek, through the woods without testing that out on your dog first. I think – again, this gets back to just really testing a lot of the stuff out before you get out there, because you don't want to get out there expecting your dog to carry around all of this, and then he's not comfortable, starts to like rub him raw because you haven't actually practiced this just around your house. I would honestly say that the best way before you go out and do anything out like hiking or camping is to practice as much of the stuff in a setting where the dog is calm and comfortable, and especially if you're looking at putting a pack on your dog, you have to make sure that it fits really, really well, because that's going to change depending on how much weight you put into the pack. So knowing where your dog's capabilities are prior to even getting out into the woods, I would say would be first priority for a novice that is trying to like go back and forth between, well, is the dog going to carry its own food and water, or are we going to do that? I would say get that figured out before you even get out to the trail, and so the dog knows what to do as soon as you put the pack on its back.
One other tip, Ryan, is no matter how well your dog is trained, you always seem to come across those dogs on the trail, off leash or not, that are not trained, and they come up to your dog and start a ruckus in one way or another.
Yeah.
What's the best way to deal with that? What is the best way to deal with that situation? And how would you tell somebody, on the other end, hey, get your dog, watch out, something's going to happen here. How do you work in trail etiquette with other people and their dogs?
Oh, trail etiquette. I think a lot of people's true personalities come out.
They do.
Whenever another dog comes up to their dog that's golden and precious and would never hurt anything, but yet the two dogs get into a scuffle. the way that we train our dogs was, you know, the basic sit and stake, you know, commands first, but we would actually take them to a park that has a sidewalk where there's a lot of walkers and runners and other dogs, and teach the dog how to sit and stay and not feel like it has to go, like, approach every single dog and human, where the dog can just chill out and it can watch people, but, like, unless we give it the command to go and approach, then they don't. That's something that can be easily done with, you know, treat commands, if that's something that you would like to do, which really helps getting over onto the trail, where as you're walking along, that the dog being on, like, the leash knows that it sees another dog coming up, but it doesn't yank you forward. It doesn't try to go up and kind of get into their mess. We've had several instances where a dog has been off their leash and has came up and approached our dog. And then because they're two dominant dogs, they end up by getting to a scuffle. And then you've got that awkward moment where you're having to, like, talk to the other owner going, oh my God, I'm sorry. You know, my dog never does this. But yet they're kind of giving you the stink eye. That's one that, like, it really helps to have a dog that's trained to be a little more on the submissive side, where it can just keep walking without being distracted by that other human or that other dog. But I would say politeness always goes a long ways. I think dogs have a really keen sense of understanding if the owner is tense, which can only complicate, I think, those matters way, way worse. So if you as a dog owner can stay calm and still be polite but yet constructive and just move along, that might be the best way to, like, overcome some awkward confrontations on the trails if you know, you have two dogs that happen to kind of get into it because one is not well-behaved.
So we're talking to Ryan Carter today, calling in from Nashville, Tennessee, talking about his websites and his business, Camping with Dogs and CampingWithDogs.com. Ryan, it says on your website that you guys are developing an app in particular for the national parks on whether, you know, your dogs are allowed there, what are the rules and the restrictions. Tell us about that and what is to come with your app and when it's going to come out.
That's actually the most exciting thing about what we're doing, which is an idea that I had within the first week or two of getting, I guess, our Instagram account launched in January, was through my own experiences with going to parks and seeing somewhere online or at a friend post that, oh yeah, the park is dog friendly. And then you actually get there and you notice that, like, almost all the trails are not dog friendly. That is an issue that I think it's not just me that's having it, but we have posted a few pieces of content where we've requested people to give feedback, and we've had hundreds of people reach out and say, we've had that same problem. It seems like it's tough to find that information across web, where to really dig down through everything to figure out, like, which part of these parks are dog friendly or not, what restrictions are there. And it's not a set standard every national park, and that's not the only ones that we want to focus on. We're bringing this down to the state level and then down to also the city level. We've got a couple of parks here in town where if you were just passing through the area, you would never know that there were these trails that were accessible and that were dog friendly. So what we're trying to do is help build a community and a network around the whole camping, hiking with dogs group of people that are looking for places, you know, to hike and camp that will allow their dogs.
Right.
So that you don't have people that are traveling, you know, hundreds of miles, and they get this, you know, to this place and they realize that there's not a trail in this park that's dog friendly, but the park is. As anybody could probably attest, that's a rather confusing. So this app is here to basically break down all the data that's in place online, put it into an easy to use app.
Cool stuff. You know, not only are your pictures amazing, but you guys are providing great information to the dog-loving public. You know, everybody would love to be able to take their dogs camping or hiking or on vacation or whatever they do, but there's just so much gray area out there still that, you know, it's still a relatively new thing. As you mentioned, going out there and really enjoying life with your dogs, you know, most of the time they stay at home or at the boarding facility. We do that for a living, and we're always full. I think people need to get out more and do things with their dogs. That's what we get them for. That's why they're our companions.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think at the end of the day, what we're wanting to do is bring, I guess, some exposure to this, that a lot of these parks, we would wish that they were more dog friendly. And I think that we're building a strong group of people that are highly passionate about taking their dog everywhere they go. And so what we're wanting to do is we're wanting to launch this app on National Camping with Dogs Day. And that is going to be on September the 5th, 2015. It's on a Saturday. And what we're encouraging people to do is go hiking and camping with their dogs on that day. So we are reaching out to ambassadors all over the country to host group hikes and camps like with their dogs. And
right.
We hope to have the first iteration of the app launched on that day and have that be like the first annual Camping with Dogs Day.
Cool stuff. Ryan, we have just a couple more minutes. Anything else coming up in the near future besides the app and, of course, the content that's out there all the time, every day? Any other exciting things on the works here?
I'm gonna turn this around a little bit and ask you a question. We have got the opportunity of building a dog collar that is going to allow you to be able to find your dog if it ever gets lost. And this goes past the point of Bluetooth, which gets into Wi-Fi and 3G technology. As a dog owner, how important you think it would be for you to have a device in your dog where if it ever gets loose, if you're going camping, where you've got the opportunity to still be able to find your dog?
You know, I think it's an excellent tool to have. There's all sorts of those GPS type things on the market, but I just don't think that people think that it's an important concept. I think, oh, well, you know, my dog always comes back, or she never gets loose, or whatever. I think that technology is needed. There are so many dogs, not only here in Alaska, but throughout the country, that do get lost, and unfortunately, they're never found again, whether they're stolen or ran over or whatever. But if we could find a way to pinpoint exactly where they are and go get them, I think that would save not only frustration, but also that relationship that we have with our dogs. And if I could, Ryan, add a little bit more to that, I would love to have the ability to track my dogs in real time. I'm a musher, and we try every winter to figure out how far our dogs have ran in a particular season, but there's no way to do that unless we're with them. So if there was something on a collar that, you know, similar to the apps like Map My Ride and things on the iPhone that track the people doing things, if we could track our dogs doing things as well, I think folks that do dog sports or even that want to track their dog's activity, I think that would be a great idea as well if they could do that with GPS or Bluetooth or whatever we're doing.
So like a Fitbit, but for your dog.
But for dogs, yes.
Fitbit
for dogs would be great.
Which would be really cool for the outdoorsy person that's got a dog that goes hiking and camping a lot. We spend a lot of time and effort in tracking our performance, but it would be also really interesting to track your dogs as well. We're constantly looking for like the next thing, you know, like aside from, you know, kind of offering, I guess, apparel options. We're wanting to build in a lot of other things that kind of appeal to the active dog owner.
Right.
From the app to the apparel and to the blog and just being a resource for dog owners, we're kind of wanting to hit on every aspect of that. So this, what started off is just like an idea and a fun thing to do on the side is now turned into a really strong community, and we couldn't be more thrilled and excited about the future of it.
you know, I applaud you guys for your efforts. You guys have an amazing team out there. I'm going to definitely post along some links to your pages and let folks know
how
to become involved. And let's just keep it going. Let's see how many pictures we can get posted, how many likes we can get on your guys' page, and really build this community up.
That sounds excellent. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much. Ryan Carter calling in from Nashville, Tennessee, Camping with Dogs, and the website is campingwithdogs.com. Make sure you pay attention to National Camping with Your Dog Day. I believe he said it was on September 5th. Is that right, Ryan?
Yeah, we've got a link to it on the top bar of our website, and you can actually sign up to be a brand ambassador and host a group hike or camp with all your dogs in your own city or park. And so I would encourage everybody to go there and sign up. And then we're getting dozens of people asking about joining each day. And we hope to inspire the world to go camping and hiking with their dogs all on September the 5th, 2015.
Awesome. Good stuff, Ryan. We'll talk again soon, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you. Ryan Carter
is
our guest today. We'll talk to you guys soon. Goodbye.